Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today our text for the sermon is going to be from John 1, 43 to 51, the calling of Philip and Nathanael. Let's talk about popularity. And who would you say are the most popular people in the world right now? Well, there's lots of different ways of measuring that. One way is looking at who's being followed on social media. Do you think you could name the five most followed people on Instagram? Let me share them with you. Counting down from number five to number one. Number five is Selena Gomez, a singer and actor. Number four is Kylie Jenner, a celebrity. Number three is Dwayne Johnson, an actor. Number two is Ariana Grande, a singer. And number one, the most followed person on Instagram, Portuguese soccer player Cristiano Ronaldo. Cristiano Ronaldo has over 240 million followers on Instagram. So there's 240 million who are hanging on Cristiano Ronaldo's every word, every sentence that he speaks. Now, the internet has a name for these super popular people. They are called influencers. These are, by the world standards, the five most influential thinkers in the world right now. A singer, a celebrity, an actor, a singer, and a soccer player. The world is following them, listening to them, and they are the thought leaders in our world today. It's interesting that the people who subscribe to their accounts are called followers. I mean, that harkens all the way back to our gospel reading today. It's almost as if they are disciples of these people. And I don't think that's too far from the truth. Which raises the question, the important one today is not who the world is following, but who are you following? Not just on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, but who are the influencers in your life? Who are your thought leaders? Who is leading you? Who do you follow? In our gospel lesson, Jesus invites Philip and Nathanael to be his disciples with two words, follow me. Two powerful words that would change their lives forever. Calling people to follow him is not just something Jesus used to do. It is something Jesus still does today. In our gospel lesson, Jesus called Philip and Nathanael. But more importantly, he is calling you and me to be his disciples. Through the power of the scriptures, through the power of the word, he is giving us the same invitation today. Follow me. We are called to be disciples, followers of Jesus. So let me share with you five things Jesus does for his disciples. Number one, he calls his disciples. John 1:43, finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Notice, Philip and Nathanael do not find Jesus. Jesus finds Philip and invites him to be his disciple. Then Philip finds Nathanael and invites him to follow Jesus. Jesus calls with just two words, follow me. And those two words would change Philip's life forever. And Nathanael's life, as well as the other disciples called by Jesus. Following Jesus is not a hobby. It's not just a religion. It's a call. It's a call to a new life. It's a call to a better life. And it's a call to an adventure, a joyful adventure, the adventure of a lifetime. From the moment they were called by Jesus to be disciples, Philip and Nathanael's life would be changed. Changed for the better. Not easier, but better. Better in ways they couldn't imagine. And the reason it was better was for one reason, and for one reason only. Jesus. Jesus would be their leader. Jesus would be their teacher. Jesus would be their very best friend for the rest of their lives and beyond. Now we can relate to that, can't we? because our own lives have been changed ever since the Lord called us to be his disciples. When did he do that? When did the Lord call you? Well, God calls us in the sacrament of holy baptism. I love our baptismal banner at St. Matthew. It has on it Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. I have called you by name. You are mine. What a perfect verse to describe what happens in holy baptism. In the waters of baptism, the Lord calls us to be his own disciples. We don't find him. He finds us. He finds us. He washes us. He forgives us. And he calls us. Follow me. It's an exciting call. It is a call to adventure, the joyful adventure of following Jesus. And because of that call, our lives have been changed for the better. I didn't say our lives would be easier, just better. Better because of Jesus. From that moment on, when Jesus called us in the waters of holy baptism, Jesus has been our leader, he has been our teacher. And he's been our very best friend. And he will be your best friend for the rest of your life and beyond. Jesus, number one, calls his disciples. Number two, Jesus listens to his disciples. When Philip tells Nathanael about Jesus, that he is the Messiah, the anointed one, Nathanael is skeptical, especially when he finds out Jesus is from Nazareth. Nathanael's response is so human. Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael insults the hometown of Jesus. And by doing that, he's insulting Jesus. Of course, Jesus, being the Son of God, knew exactly what Nathanael had said. And you might think that after being insulted, Jesus would react in anger or maybe come back with an insult of his own or maybe just simply reject Nathanael as a disciple. But listen to Jesus' first words to Nathanael. Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. John 1:47. We can only marvel at the grace, the love, and the patience of Jesus. How does Jesus respond to being insulted? With a compliment. How does Jesus respond to people who curse him? With blessings. There is truly no one like Jesus. Nathanael is completely changed, completely turned around by his meeting with Jesus. And he asked Jesus a question. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. It is the first of many questions that Jesus' disciples would ask him. His disciples were always asking him questions. And Jesus shows his grace, his love, and his kindness by listening and answering their questions. In fact, many of the teachings of Jesus that we love started out with Jesus listening to questions from his disciples and graciously answering them. When Nathanael asked Jesus how Jesus saw him, it gives Jesus the opportunity to tell Nathanael about his divine nature, that he had seen Nathanael under the fig tree, and that Nathanael discovers that Jesus himself is the Son of God. Look at the number of times the words Jesus answered comes up in the gospel. Peter would ask Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Jesus answered, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Thomas would ask Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus encourages his disciples to ask questions, not just the 12, but us as well. Jesus also encourages us to ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus encourages us to pray. And he assures us that he is always listening to us. Jesus guarantees any time you call on him, you will not get a busy signal. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. You can talk to Jesus in prayer anytime you need to, anytime you want to. Jesus loves to hear your prayers, and he's always listening to his disciples. Jesus calls his disciples. Jesus listens to his disciples. Number three, Jesus teaches his disciples. When Nathanael hears Jesus describe the miracle of seeing him under the fig tree, he responds, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael calls Jesus Rabbi. That is such a perfect title for Jesus. Now, I used to think rabbi meant teacher, and I was wrong. It doesn't mean teacher. The word rabbi means my teacher. Do you see the difference? Do you see the personal relationship the student has with his rabbi? It's the relationship between the teacher and his student, the master and his disciple. And what a teacher Jesus is. He is, as we said last week, the prophet. That makes him the greatest preacher and the greatest teacher of all time. Jesus was always teaching. Yes, Jesus would sometimes teach formally in the synagogues and in the temple. Those were definitely places of teaching, but he didn't limit his teaching to lectures in the synagogue. His classroom was the world. He could teach in a synagogue or in the temple or in a boat on the Sea of Galilee or a mountain or a plain or even in a foreign country like Samaria. Wherever Jesus went, he took the opportunity to teach his disciples. And that's what he still does for us today. He continually teaches us, and the way he teaches us is through the scriptures, through the power of his word. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans 10, verse 17. Christ is much more than a teacher. He is your rabbi. He is your teacher. It's a personal relationship. He's the master. You are the disciple. He is the teacher and you are the student. And let me tell you something. Class is always in session because Jesus has a lot he wants to teach you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you through the power of his word. And his classroom is the world. Yes, he teaches you through the scriptures here at church, through sermons, through Bible studies, through your personal devotions. But his classroom is the world. Everywhere you go, every situation you find yourself in is an opportunity to take the teachings of Christ's word and put them into practice because Jesus is your teacher and he is with you always. Take time to read God's word and listen to your rabbi. Jesus calls his disciples. He listens to his disciples. He teaches his disciples. And number four, he eats with his disciples. One thing I've noticed about reading the Gospels is that Jesus and his disciples eat together a lot. And I like that. I mean, I can relate to that because I like eating too. I got to tell you, I had a great day last Friday. Let me tell you what made it such a great day. You know, kids and I like to get pizza on Friday nights. And we go to a pizza place that's close to us, Marco's Pizza. And we signed up for one of those clubs where you earn points and get coupons. And they usually never work, but this one we've kind of stuck with. And we got a coupon, and the coupon was for a quote-unquote free pizza. And I thought to myself, wow, a free pizza. You know what that is? Those are two of my very favorite words put together. Free and pizza. This is a great day. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. I love that picture of Jesus eating at Levi, the tax collector's house. He would later become Matthew, his disciple, one of the 12. All of these people are having a great time gathered around the table with Jesus. Now, these people were not the kind of people who normally got invited over for dinner. In fact, the Pharisees were scandalized by the people Jesus chose to eat with. Matthew 9, verse 11. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But Jesus loved these people. He invited them to his table. He was glad that they were there. He even invites sinners to his table. And he still does so today. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. This cup is new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus still invites sinners to his table, sinners like you and me. He still fellowships with those who believe in him. He invites to his table for fellowship, to be reminded that he has given his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus calls his disciples. He listens to his disciples. He teaches his disciples. And he eats with his disciples. But there's one more thing we need to talk about. Why? Why does Jesus do all that for his disciples? And of course, I'm sure you know the answer. Number 5, Jesus loves his disciples. All of the Gospels spend a great deal of time talking about the Last Supper Jesus had with his disciples, the night before he went to the cross. I love the way John begins his account of the Last Supper in John chapter 13, verse 1. Having loved his own who were in the world, he wanted to show them the full extent of his love. Then you know what happens next, right? Jesus proceeds to wash the feet of his disciples. This was an act of humility, an act of service, done completely because he simply wanted to show his disciples how much he loves them. He would tell them, I am among you as one who serves. Jesus over and over again showed his disciples the great love he had for them by serving them, by teaching them, by listening to them, by eating with them, by washing their feet. But the next day, on Friday, he would go further than that. He would show them how much he loved them through the ultimate act of love, sacrificing himself on the cross. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves his disciples, all of his disciples. He loved the 12. And he loves you, and he loves me. And he died for us, so that we might have everlasting life with him in heaven. I said before that being called a disciple, to be a disciple of Jesus, is the adventure of a lifetime. But I think I was understating the point. The adventure we are on is not limited to a lifetime. It is an adventure that continues for eternity. Because of what Jesus has done through the cross and the empty tomb, we have been given the free gift of everlasting life with Jesus. And for us, this adventure is just beginning. It's the adventure of a lifetime, but it lasts far beyond our lifetime. Why? Because of the incredible love of Jesus. I just want to share with you 3 Bible verses to close. Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, and Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.